Hello and welcome to the Prospect Blueprint. I'm Kelly Kleinman. Today we have with us Jonathan Koch, one of the most motivational and genuine human beings I've had the pleasure of knowing for over 30 years. He's known some incredible challenges and has overcome them because, quite frankly, he has the heart of a champion, something he's been able to convey to his lovely daughter, Ariana. Jonna, welcome.
Thank you, Kelly. It's good to be here.
Pleasure to have you, of course.
Actually, it's good to be anywhere.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in a second. Jono's story is actually quite remarkable. Suffice to say, it's all over Google because he fought a fight for his life that few actually win. Jono, go ahead and give us a quick summary on that battle and what you learned about it regarding life and yourself.
In 2015, in January, I was at a producers conference in television producers conference in Washington, D.C., the healthiest human being, I think, most people would ever know. Never drank, never smoked, never did drugs, eat healthy, train every day, nice to people, you know, generally very, very healthy. And I just wasn't feeling well when I got there. And about 20 hours later, the doctor at the ER, GW Hospital, while I was being a little feisty, tried to settle me down by telling me the truth, which was that I was probably going to die that night. And that I should call my daughter, Ariana. And since then, we've had quite a fight for our lives. And it's been an incredible experience, to say the least.
Now, that was in 2015. He's had, well, let's see, you lost your left hand. You had a left hand transplant, and it's a brilliant one that few people have the same result that you had. You're able to use your left hand very well. It's almost impossible to tell. The surgeon did a remarkable job. You lost, let's see, part of your right foot, your left leg, and part of your right hand. But here he is today. And it's a testament to his strength and his fortitude. Now, with that said, this podcast is designated to help parents and their prospective sons and daughters succeed in sports from level to level. And before we get into your journey with the lovely Ariana in water polo, tell us about your journey as a wrestler in high school and in a college. Now, you led me to believe that you sucked. And he was very self-deprecating for years. And so we thought, okay, he just wasn't a good wrestler. But then one day it occurred to me that you could never let yourself be bad. You'll never suck at anything. What was your record in high school and then at Shippensburg?
Well, Shippensburg, I didn't get on the mat because I really wasn't a Division I college talent. I've been around the greatest wrestlers in the world most of my, even in my very young life. So when I say I sucked, it's all in the relative perspective of having world champions on my high school team and national champions and state champions and, you know, just being the one who got the most out of their talent. In high school, I won the coach's award. With all of those tremendous wrestlers on my team, I won the coach's award because, you know, I got the most out of what, you know, I could do. And probably, you know, from a team perspective, saved us from losing matches that we should have lost because it came down to my match. And I was able to do better than I think even my own coaches thought that I could. So, yeah, I got a lot out of it, but I wasn't good in the perspective of the people that I was around, but for, you know, the talent that I had, I did okay.
The record was roughly?
I think my senior year in high school, I was 22-7-1.
Not too bad. Jono's the kind of guy who'd jump on a grenade for you, but enough of Jono. No, let's stay with Jono, because I do recall that there was something that happened in Little League, and as good a wrestler as you were, on the flip side, you had a gal beat you out for second base?
Yeah, well, in Little League, yeah. There was a girl. I wasn't the only one. I just want you to know I played second base. I wasn't really that good. It was very slow, you know, for me, and I had a lot going on in my mind. And so I sometimes would find myself wandering at second base while a line drive was screaming at me and had to find my focus fairly quickly. But I did okay. And then Nan Sichler, who was a tremendous athlete, she ended up playing at Penn State softball for 4 years. She was a great athlete, and she was pitching against me, and she hit me in the head and put me down. And I was never quite right after that. And then as we got older and played in teener league, we both tried out for second base All-Stars, and I didn't make it. She beat me out. So that was the end of my baseball career, really.
Well, let's talk about Ariana, the love of your life. How did you start her off athletically? And was she in a water polo league, a swim club? How does that work for water polo players?
Well, I mean, at first, and you know, the first thing when she went to a school, a private school, where they insisted that you do something athletic. So, you know, she tried everything, you know, with gravity. She tried all of the gravity sports. And I remember, like, you know how they put the worst player in right field, and her first, you know, ever softball game, I was watching, you know, as parents do, and the first batter hit this sky high, you know, to right field. And I literally was climbing the fence. I was halfway over the fence. She was standing out there with her mitt like this and her eyes closed. And I'm like on the phone calling 911 while I'm trying to get over the fence to see if I can, you know, get to her while she's unconscious on the ground. And for some like miracle, it went right in her glove. And here I was standing on the third base path, you know, and everybody's looking at me like, what are you doing there? So I went back to where I was supposed to be, having been warned by the umpire. But honestly, every other ball that was hit to her, she would run in while it was going over her head and then have to turn around. And she hates gravity. And then, you know, she tried track and she ran the 400, which, you know, for most people, if you know, the 400 is a death sentence. It's not a sprint, and it's, you know, but it is. And so she just like didn't even get around the first curve, and the girl that was the fastest one there was finishing, and Ariana was so mad, and she, you know, sort of walked over the finish line, and I started to cry, you know, because that's not what we do. Like, that's not what our family is about. And so I went down and I told her, you know, that this isn't what you've been taught. Like, so the next week I was coming home for a business meeting. I had a suit on, but underneath it I had shorts and like a t-shirt so I could go out and run with her to get her warmed up for the district championships. And she was on the relay, the 4x4. And she beat her own time by like 2 minutes. But the whole race is not supposed to take more than like a minute and a half. So, but she was so, so mad when she got to the finish line. She said, I will never run again. So that was the end of that. And then she got in the pool. Like, water polo was not even a thing at her school. They were just starting first year. She got in the pool and she immediately fell in love. And they had a goalie who will be the Olympic goalie for the United States in the next Olympics. She's number one at USC, and she was the goalie on this team. And all the rest of the girls were wearing floaties. You know, they couldn't even swim, including really Ariana wasn't great. And Amanda, who's this incredible goalie who was like 6'1", and she had a rocket arm, and she was scoring goals from the goal to goal, while the other girls were just kind of swimming around endlessly. So, but Ariana fell in love with it. She fell in love with being part of the team, and she fell in love with the idea that she could grow with them. And she ended, along with one other girl, as a senior, she ended up being the star of that team. But,
which is interesting, yeah, because she didn't have any real interest in sports before she got into high school.
No. You know, I've told this story before, like on 2020 and stuff, but, you know, it does give you the insight of it. But when Ariana was in first grade, she came rolling into my bedroom and she put her hand up on her forehead and fell on the bed. And she said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. And what it was didn't really matter, but she had a tendency to quit a lot when she was young. And so the next day I went to a friend who was a pediatric, you know, physician, and I got a stethoscope, and I brought Ariana, when she got home from school, I brought her into my room, and we sat at the base of the bed, and I put the stethoscope, you know, in her ears, and I held it up to my heart. And while she was listening to my heartbeat, I said, you know, honey, I was born with the heart of a champion. And she said, you were? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, what does that mean? And she said, I said, it means that I never give up. No matter what, I never give up. And then I took the stethoscope and I put it on her heart. And I listened to her heart, which of course sounds exactly the same as my heart. And her eyes got so big. And she said, I have the heart of a champion. Daddy, I was born with the heart of a champion. And I said, you were, honey. And she said, I don't have to give up. And I said, you never have to give up anymore. And from that moment on, she never really did give up. You know, she tried as hard as she could, relentlessly. And so when she finally found that thing that she loved, water polo, even though she was being drowned by large girls in the pool, and, you know, she kept shooting over the goal, like, she never gave up, because, you know, she had the heart of a champion, and she shared that with her teammates, and they got the heart of a champion, and that became sort of the calling card of the Oaks, you know, girls water polo team. And they never gave up, and they became a force to be reckoned with, you know. And it was exciting, you know, for her, and exciting for me. But that was really the first time she had ever shown any interest in sports, no matter how much I had secretly desired that she did that. I know that pushing your kids too hard, you know, sometimes gets them going in the wrong direction. So I didn't.
Which is an issue. But my next question was actually just answered. You ingrained in her the heart of a champion. It's sort of, you know, it's interesting how you did it. It's a very unique way, but you do unique things. Parents everywhere would love to know how to do that for their child. And maybe they have a different technique. I happen to like yours. I wish I could have used it. But so is it within the parent? Is it within the child? And clearly it could be learned, but it really has to be felt. There has to be a substantial amount of energy and love and affection vibe between mom and dad. And it probably needs to be done at a fairly young age. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple. I tried a lot of things, mm-hmm. and some of them did not work, but there were a couple of things that I, you know, that I was really focused on. But, you know, first and foremost, before technique, there is the idea of leading by example. And I firmly, you know, 100% believe that, you know, coaching and parenting, fine line between that, right? Like, as a parent, you have to find a way to connect to your kid that gives them the best opportunity to ingest the message and, you know, and live by whatever it is that you're trying to teach them to the best of their ability to do that. But, you know, great coaches, that's the same thing. You know, when I think most people's high school coaches, if you were a great athlete, your high school coach was an important person in your life. Well, my high school coach was sort of a knuckle dragger, you know, mouth breather. Like, you never in a million years think that he knew the psychology of, you know, working with individuals, but he did. And, you know, as a wrestler, you would line up and all the other wrestlers would make a tunnel. And then when it was your time, your coach would come up and give you final instructions and then send you through the tunnel onto the mat. But my coach would always like slam his hands, slap all of the kids on their ears. Bam, bam, bam. to make them feel like mad, so that by the time they got onto the mat, they were furious. And that gave them the energy to go out there and perform their best. And so that isn't really my thing. You know, I didn't really like it. So the first time I ever got to wrestle varsity, and it was my time and the tunnel was made, and I went up there and I kind of cringed, and I, you know, prepared myself for being clobbered by my coach, and I didn't feel anything. He didn't hit me on the ears. And finally I, you know, opened my eyes and he put his hands on my ears, on my headgear, and he said, "Don't let me down." And I lit on fire, because that is what I run on. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let my team down. I don't want to let anybody down. And I will do anything not to let them down. And somehow my Neanderthal coach knew a way to connect to me. They got the best performance out of me. And so coaching and parenting are, you know, somewhat the same. Yeah. So for me, I know that Ariana doesn't want to let me down. I know she didn't, you know, and so I was able to connect to her by, you know, talking to her about the heart of a champion and about the responsibility that comes with having the heart of a champion, that not only are you not able to quit, but it's up to you to make sure that the other kids on your team don't quit either. And she took that leadership role, you know, very much to heart. So I think if you're trying to connect to your kid, you have to figure out how to spin the dials to make sure that that story resonates with them. I don't know about you and your kids, but Ariana was very overreactive. You know, like when something happened that she didn't want to have happen, you know, she would really react like a volcano. And so we went to the NBA All-Star game, the skills competition, and when it was in LA. And so one day I told her it was time for bed, and, you know, she came unglued, and, you know, I went into my closet and I took down the little things, the cards that they gave us at the slam dunk competition to rate the dunks. So it was like 1 through 10. And so I told Ariana, I said, "Look, everything can't be a 10 because I don't know how to react to you. So from now on, whenever you're upset, I want you to take these, go into your room and get one of these. And one is the world is beautiful and everything is all right. And 10 is the world is on fire and we're all going to die. And figure out how upset you are." So the first time it happened, she was like, you know, "I want cookies. How many can I have?" And I said, 3. And she stormed off, went into her room, and she came back and she was holding a 4. And she was staring at me with a 4, staring a hole in me. So over time, we did this for probably like 1.5 years. And when it was time to go to bed, and she'd say, "I don't want to go to bed." And I'd say, "Well, you're obviously ready to be your own parent. I did the best that I could. And I wish you the best of luck." And she'd roll into her room and she'd come out and she'd grab a 3 and she'd stare a hole in me. And so over time, she learned to evaluate how upset she really was. She learned to sort of mediate her own self so that she could appropriately respond when something wasn't going right. And we did that for about 1.5 years. And then we didn't do it for like 4 or 5 years. And she had a very good way of really sharing with me how upset she was. And then one day when she was probably 8, she slipped and fell on the steps of my house. And she hit her front tooth, which was growing in. And it was in her adult tooth, and she split it in 1/2. And she got up, and I really didn't even see what happened. And she put her hand over her mouth, and she said, 10, 10, 10, 10. And, you know, I realized that that bit of parenting really worked because she broke her adult tooth in half. That was a 10. I got it.
Yeah,
you know,
I'd say.
Yeah. So I realized that, you know, that mechanism that I gave her to judge how upset she was really changed even today as a 21-year-old person. Like, she doesn't overreact to things. And she hasn't. I never had a single bad day with her from the time she was, you know, 8 until the time she was 21. Everything was exactly what it was. And that was a much easier way to deal with it. So I think you have to figure out how to tune your kids the right way so that they react in a way that I didn't ask her to be a robot and never react. I asked her to react in kind with what was really going on. And I can't tell you how many of my friends have taken those cards or playing cards or written cards out or whatever they had to do to help their kids not to blow their stack on every single thing that happened. So I think that was one way where I kind of instilled in her a way to react appropriately.
Well, it sounds like you worked on the mental game before the physical game. So you set the framework really early for the toughest part of any sport, which is the mental game. The mental game is 90% of it, quite frankly. She was ready to go when it came to high school, when it came time to finding a sport that she could succeed in and do well in. That's actually quite remarkable and pretty impactful right there. That's a really interesting anecdote. So she chose water polo. And by the way, thanks for sharing that. I think that we could get a lot out of that. That's something that, fortunately with my kids, I got them into martial arts and they didn't want to disappoint their sensei. And that discipline just carried on into anything and everything that they do. I won't say that I instilled in the greatest mental game in the world. They just didn't want to piss me off. Yeah, I was one of those dads, quite frankly. But let's go.
It takes all kinds.
It worked. They, they're good guys.
They are.
What kind of training, physical training, did she have before she got into water polo or to make her water polo game better?
I was a wrestler. So every time since she was little, with a nod to your own kid, she was like Kato from the Pink Panther, you know, like I'd walk through the hallway and she'd jump off the dryer and attack me. And we always were wrestling and hand fighting and learning how to, you know, use hand control and, you know, the things that water polo fundamentally is wrestling in the water. And the girls are vicious. They're way more vicious than the boys who really play the ball more than they play the person. But in girls water polo, they play the person. The ball is almost secondary to the one-on-one battles that go on between the girls. So Ariana was tough. She's a tough kid. And I have to say, you know, she wasn't talented just the same way I wasn't talented. She wasn't the most talented. She was the hardest working one, you know. So on a new team that wasn't, you know, 30 years of great water polo, being hardworking and being coachable and having the right attitude and being fierce was really, you know, much of the battle. She just, you know, Ariana was not competitive when she was young. She just wasn't. She wasn't into it. Like, I was competitive. You know, I started wrestling when I was 5. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first match when you're 5 years old, the first match, everybody's crying and you're just upset. You're both upset, you know? So it just becomes in Pennsylvania, all the parents throw their kids on the mat when you're 5 and everybody's crying and it's a disaster and you're wearing cowboy boots or hey, whatever, you know, but growing up in California, Ariana was a peace and love kid and she wasn't very competitive. But their first year, they ended up playing Malibu for the conference championship, you know, which was really the blind versus the blind, the land of misfit toys. You know, they were wearing like those arm floaties, you know, it was just Amanda and the rest of the team. But Amanda, the goalie, was so good that they made it to the finals of the district championship. And they were losing like 4-2 in the fourth. And I remember I was in a suit, you know, I raced there and all the place was packed. The whole pool was crazy packed and everybody was going crazy. And Ariana was being guarded by this little redheaded girl. And this little redheaded girl, when nobody was looking except for me, because as a parent, you watch your kid, you don't watch the ball. And I was watching, and this little redheaded girl grabbed Ariana by the back of the head and headbutted her. And Ariana was facing me. And like her head went back like this. And then she came up and she had these eyes like, I am going to murder you. She wasn't upset. She was mad. And like, it was the first time I ever really saw a competitive spirit in her. And she and this girl like had this WWE match going on away from the ball. Like nobody was even paying attention to them, but it was their first time. And Ariana got the ball. And she was just so furious. She got the ball. She swam over top of that girl. And she scored for the first time in their whole life. She scored a goal. And it was 4-3. And then it was 4-4. And they went into overtime. And Amanda scored from the goal. She scored a goal. And they won.
From the goal.
And Ariana got out of the pool. And all the kids were celebrating. And she didn't even go to her team. She ran straight to me and she jumped into my arms, soaking wet. My suit was soaking wet and she jumped into my arms and, you know, she said, thank you. It was, you know, really, sorry.
Yeah, that's
really quite an amazing moment because I didn't think she even knew what I did for her, but she did, you know, and she was so grateful. And then she jumped out of my arms and jumped into the pool with her team. You know, her water polo life just exploded. And she just loved being part of a team. She just loved doing it like I did for them more than she cared about doing it for herself.
Yeah.
And that became her kind of her MO. And she had the Olympic assistant men's water polo coach was the head coach at her school. So she had a great coach who sort of took it from there.
Sure.
You know, because I didn't really have anything to offer. I was still learning water polo. And Jack was an amazing coach. And he took Ariana under his wing and, you know, off they went.
She would run. She would do whatever she could do to get better. She,
you know, it's hard to train for water polo.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're not in the pool.
Except for to swim. Mm-hmm. You swim instead of run, right? Like if you're a gravity sport, you know, person like me or like you, you know, if you're a wrestler, you run. If you're a baseball player, you run. But if you're a water polo player, you swim. And so she was on the swim team and, you know, she didn't like it very much. But that was the equivalent of distance running was distance swimming.
Yeah, sure.
So she swam, yeah.
Well, there was something else that she didn't like that much. You know what I'm talking about? Tell us about the visit to the principal.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, you have to be eligible, which, you know, when I grew up was not a high bar.
Basically for myself.
Yeah, like breathing in and out that you were eligible, you know, like as a star wrestler in high school, you know, I'd starve myself for days on end to make weight and they would let me out of class to go lay down. You know, but she went to
it should be, my opinion. That's a whole other generation.
Totally, yeah. But Ariana was, you know, she went to an academic institution first an athletic institution second. So the first semester of ninth grade, I got a call, as did her mom, that Ariana was on academic probation, like immediately, the second she got into high school. She loved socializing. She's, you know, and so we got called to a meeting with everybody. And when she went to school, where she went to school, when you got called into that meeting, everybody showed up, you know, the principal, all of her counselors, all of her teachers,
the AD,
the AD, like everybody was there. I did even get the feeling that Jesus was there. And
Christian school.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we sat there. I was in a suit. Ariana was, you know, dressed in her uniform, and her mom was dressed in like a dress, because this was like such a big deal to our family. Like, what was going on here? And Ariana was just so embarrassed. And so the headmaster of the school addressed Ariana directly, and he said, "Well, Ariana, how much homework do you do?" And she really gave it some thought. I got to give her credit. You know, she really gave it some thought, and she said, "I'd say about 3 hours." And the headmaster kind of threw his head back, and he was like, "3 hours?" He said, "Like, most of the kids that go to school here that do 3 hours of homework a night are doing a lot better than you're doing, Ariana." And she looked at me, and then she looked at him, and she was like, "A night?" And so she thought he meant a week. So therein lies the problem. So I could not stop laughing because her delivery was so amazing. A night.
But she was aghast.
Yeah, she was really like, yeah, very upset. So, you know, we realized what the problem was, you know, that she wasn't, you know, but she was not a good student, you know, but she tried hard, and she maintained her eligibility, you know, just through the sheer will, you know, to do it. I wasn't a good student either, you know, but we did everything we could and afforded her every opportunity to try to get her grades up. And it was an opportunity for me to teach her that, you know, everybody's great at the things that they love, you know, but if you don't like school and you love water polo and that's all you pay attention to, you'll never be eligible. You have to do the things that you don't want to do so that you can do the things that you want to do. I think that's life in general, right? And try harder at the things you hate than you do the things you love, because it's so much tougher. And it was a good learning, but it was also really hard for her to be a good student. But she did it. And in her last semester of high school, she got a 3.5 at like a really great school. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
I was very, very proud of her. I've always been very proud of her. And you know, in the middle of all of that is when I, you know, died for a little while. And when I was, you know, in Washington, D.C. in the hospital for 5 months, you know, during her sophomore year. So, you know, she had a lot to overcome, and it was hard for her to concentrate. But when I got back and I was able to, you know, really understand what was going on and talk to her, and I was so proud of her for the grades that she got. And she said, "You know, I did it for you, Daddy."
Yeah.
You know, and that, again, that leads me to one of the fundamental, I wrote a Daddy Manifesto for Ariana that's about 23 fundamental points of life, so that when she's lost, she can read it and remember the things that she loves about herself and the things that are important in life. And, you know, one of them is that when you're only doing something for yourself, it's very easy to let yourself down. It's very easy to give in when you're only doing it for yourself. But when you believe in doing it for your coach, your teammates, your brothers and sisters, your friends and your parents. You fight till the bloody end to do for them. Just the same way, you know, if I had tried to stay alive just for myself, I wouldn't be here. But I decided to try to stay alive for Ariana because she needed her daddy, you know. And when you put your mind to doing something that's so much bigger than yourself, what you can accomplish is so tremendous. So when Ariana was very young, she learned the difference between doing what you're able to do or digging deep and doing what you're capable of doing. She learned the difference for those things. And so when she stopped getting bad grades because she only cared about that for herself, and she tried to get grades for me, she learned that she was capable of getting much better grades, and so she did.
Yeah. Again, the mental game, it's so important. What did her recruiting journey look like? Did she send out film? Was it, how did it look? You got a story there, so lay it on us.
Well, you know, Ariana was, as most college athletes are, she was the best player on her team her senior year. So was everybody that goes on, right? And what are there, like 500 Division I college water polo players? And I mean, truth be told, like, Ariana doesn't have Division I talent, but she has Division I heart and Division I discipline and Division I commitment, you know? So she didn't really have a recruiting journey. Nobody really was recruiting her. She wanted to go to San Diego State. And to be honest, I didn't think she had the grades to go to San Diego State. And she wanted to play water polo. She played Junior Olympics, and they took a bronze medal in Junior Olympics, which was pretty good. And she had a good tournament. That was about the entirety of, you know, her journey looked like mine and so much. Like, I barely made it out of districts as a wrestler, but I went to the University of Michigan tournament in the off season and I won, and I pinned, you know, two national champion, prep school national champions in the tournament, and I won. And the University of Michigan coach came up to me and he said, "Jonathan, would you like to apply to the University of Michigan and consider wrestling at Michigan?" And I said, "Sir, coach, I would love that, but I don't know what came over me. But if you really knew, you know, what I was and who I was as a wrestler, you wouldn't even be talking to me, you know. So I appreciate it, but no."
I thought you were going to turn him down because you're a diehard Nittany Lion fan from Penn State.
But I didn't go, and I guess. Okay. But, you know, it was just like I had this, like, magic Caddyshack tournament, you know. Yeah. Everything went great. And Ariana kind of had that in Junior Olympics. So the assistant coach at San Diego State.
Wait a minute. I got to spank you for saying that to the Michigan coach. How dare you? He was offering you. You got to take it. Everyone develops in their own time. But anyway.
No, you know what? It wasn't going to end there.
Yeah.
The invitation was going to end up with, "Can I see some of your high school matches? Like, you know, what place did you take in states?" And I didn't take a place in states, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was born to be a coach, not a wrestler, you know.
So,
so the assistant coach at San Diego State approached Ariana and me while we were at Junior Olympics and, you know, said, "Would you be interested?" And, you know, we said, "Yes, we would." So that turned out to trying to get film on her, of which there really wasn't any. And the only thing we had going for us was Jack, who was the Olympic coach, who was Ariana's coach, carries a lot of weight in the water polo world.
Sure.
So he told Karen, the head coach at San Diego State, "You should meet her. You should meet Ariana Koch." And so we got a letter inviting her to recruiting day. And so, you know, here I am basically, you know, Quasimodo. I'm, you know, I like can barely walk. I'm just not right. And her mom, who, you know, is overzealous about all of this, and poor Ariana, and we go to this recruiting day, and honestly, they don't even address her. They don't even see her. They've got some real talent sitting in the audience, you know, and it was very intense, you know, and one of the girls raised her hand. The whole varsity was there, and the coach and the assistant coach, and the coach, one of the girls raised her hand and said, "What's Greek life like here?" And I, you know, my shoulders went up and I sort of ducked because I understood who Karen was, the coach, like right away. And she was like, "Your team are your sisters here at San Diego State. You don't need to ask who the Greek are." And she was so like intense. Well, I immediately connected to that and I knew immediately who Karen was. So when we left the auditorium to go on the walkabout at school, I walked with Karen and I told her our whole Heart of a Champion life story. I told her all the stories I told you earlier, like in conversation, I weave them in to conversation. Meanwhile, I'm pouring sweat because, you know, I was just getting used to my prosthetic and I couldn't walk as fast as everybody else. And I showed her, I didn't just tell her, I showed her the Heart of Champion at, you know, during that time. And so we were standing up in the quad and I went over to Ariana and I said, "Ariana, this is your moment. This is your time. You have to go up. I've set the table for you. Go up and have a conversation with Karen and tell her how much you want to be here." So, you know, for the first time in her life, she spoke up and she went over to Karen and she said, "I know you don't even know why you would want me to be on your team." I'm going to get emotional.
Yeah.
But if you invite me, I promise every day for the next 4 years, I will work so hard to make sure that you not only know the answer, but that you're grateful that you did invite me on this team." And she did that all by herself, no coaching from me. And, you know, and Karen said, "Thank you." And that was the end of it. And we didn't really hear back, you know, for certainly not right away. But I got the assistant coach and I said, "What influence do you have on Ariana getting into school?" And he said, "You know, if all things are equal and she has good grades and she's, but maybe not quite good enough, we have 4 levels that we can affect people getting into the school here. We have 1 level, which is we have to have them and we can help them get into school. And then we have different levels where, you know, depending on their circumstances, we can help them get into school. But based on your family and the finances of your family, and it's all really going to come down to the fourth level, which is we kind of want her. We want to give her a chance. That was really, you know, if you can help her out, if she's just on the edge, we would like her to play water polo here." And that was all I knew. And so we left San Diego State and she got into school at Oregon and Oregon State just based on her grades. Neither of them had, Oregon didn't have water polo, but they were the national champions in club water polo. Mm-hmm. So we thought maybe, you know, that's where she was going to end up. And, you know, we were preparing ourselves for that. And one day Ariana came home from school and she came into the house and I was working with my trainer in rehab, and I've seen Ariana cry maybe 3 times in her whole life, not as a baby, but once she got to the point where she was a, you know, human being. One of them was when she broke her tooth. And she came in and just tears were just rolling down her face. And, you know, she just grabbed me and she didn't say anything. And I said, "Did you get in?" And she said, "I did get in. Yeah. I got in. They invited me to be, you know, a preferred walk-on, you know, at San Diego State, and I'm going to play water polo." So, you know, right. It was like the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
You know, because she worked at it. She wanted it, and she made it happen by the sheer will of, you know, how she was raised to have that will and to never let anything stop her from getting in. And I know it was by the sheer, you know.
Yeah.
But it turned out that this other girl that they really wanted and that they invited to get into school as a preferred walk-on had enrolled at San Diego State. And the second she did, she told them, "I'm not interested in playing water polo anymore." And so Karen, the coach, and they were so upset and so discouraged. They sat around a table, all of them, and they said, "We need to give this position to somebody who really, really wants to be here." And all of them, as far as I heard, all of them at the same time said, "Ariana Koch." And so, you know, she got in.
Yeah.
So that was it.
It's a great story. There's nothing like when you get accepted to a college. It really doesn't matter what level. There's many different levels. And just getting accepted to go to college for many people is enough. But to be able to do it on an athletic level, which is what this show is all about, is absolutely the most special experience you can have. I actually have a picture of my boys telling the coach, "I think we're in," you know, which is like, you know, incredible.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know. Well, you did, you know, I mean, you and I,
yeah,
we came about things so differently. You know, you've outlined a couple of times, because I think anybody that's listening to this, you know, might not be interested in the mental part of it. You came about from the physical standpoint. You coached your kids to perform at the peak level that they were capable of doing, which did have a mental component to it. But physically, you taught your kids how to get faster and stronger and how to see the ball and how to go to the cages and work, you know. And I didn't get involved with any of that with Ariana, you know. The only thing I did was teach her how to forget about what she was able to do and understand what she was capable of doing and find that extra, you know. When Ariana was, I had a 6'7", 280-pound monster who was my rehab, you know, trainer. I got rid of all the rehab people because they didn't know how to train somebody who had the heart that I did. I needed somebody who would take me to the limits, you know. So Scott, he didn't know anything about rehab, but he was incredibly, like, tapped into my heart. But when I asked him to train Ariana, he took her to his gym and he put her on the treadmill and he said, "I want you to run at an incline of 10 at 8 miles an hour for 2 minutes. And I said, "Scott, that's not how you train my kid. Like, you tell her to get on the treadmill at an incline of 10 for 8 miles an hour for as long as you can."
Yeah.
Don't teach her to just reach to what you think she's capable of, you know, what she's able to do. Teach her to find out what she's capable of. And so she ran for 2 minutes and 41 seconds. And when she got off, I said, "Honey, that 41 seconds is where you will go when everybody else is exhausted in the pool and they can't guard you the same and they, you know, they just don't have it anymore. You've got 41 seconds of an absolute blast of adrenaline that you can tap into and you'll build on that, you know. But I think really, and I'll end it with this, but you know that big tire that people grab and they turn over and they flip it over at the gym?
Sure.
So Scott had this big tire, you know, and Ariana was flipping it over and she was so strong. Scott trained her. She's a beast. I mean, she's a beautiful beast, but she's a beast. And she was taking that tire and she was flipping it over. But as I was watching her do it and I could see, you know, sort of the life draining out of her eyes, that she couldn't find any more strength to flip that thing over. And so I put my hand on the tire and I looked her dead in the eye and I said, honey, I want you to do this one right here, right now, for how much you love me. You do it right now for how much you love me. And she picked up that tire and she threw it halfway across the gym. And then she started to cry. And I said, that's it right there. That's the difference between what you think you can do and what you really can do. And you have to develop that. You have to find that always. And when you think you can't run one more sprint, you run. And you run it faster than you've run any of the other ones. You know, that's what it takes to be an average athlete and to compete at the highest possible level. And there is nobody who's got a heart like my kid. She is indomitable. And when it came to me getting sick and her having to dig down and fight through something so terrible for her, you know, she saw me the first time. My hands and feet were dead and black, and she came to the hospital in Washington, and I was barely a human. I didn't have any hair from the chemo, and, you know, I was 175 pounds down from the last time she saw me, which was 230. And she came into the room, and she took one look at me, and this is sort of secondhand, because I didn't see this, but she took one look at me, and she left the room, and she went out into the hallway and she fell on the ground and she wept and she told her mom, like, you know, she was just beside herself. I can't believe this is what that's my Superman. And I can't believe it. And after a couple of 5 minutes, from what I understood, she got up and she wiped her tears and she said, let's do this. And she walked into the room. And from that minute until this very minute, she was my rock. Yeah. She stood up for me, you know? So I think it's not just, you know, sports movies aren't really about sports. They're about life. They're about the triumph of a human spirit. And we've lived it and she has it. And whenever she needs it, it will be there for her. And she made her teammates better, even though she was never very good in college. She wasn't good enough to play in college. So in her second year, she didn't get the opportunity to go back and play again. But she got everything she could ever want out of water polo. A chance to go to school, friends for life, and a chance to understand how great it is to go to college as an athlete and live that life that is so valuable that people do terrible things to get their kids into school because they want them to live that concierge VIP life. But unlike you, who did it with your kids physically, and me, who did it with my kid mentally, you know, they take a shortcut, but you don't have to. You don't have to. You just have to do what's right by your kid and believe in them and do it for them and not for yourself, and teach them to find what's great about themselves and what they love about themselves, and then how to articulate that and tell the coaches and show the coaches in those moments when maybe they don't have the film. Why every coach, I was a coach, I was a high school coach, every coach wishes that they had a Cato and a Casey, and they wishes that they had a Kelly, and they wish they had an Ariana, and they wish that they had a Jonathan, because yeah, they're going to have the superstars that are so natural and, you know, will someday play in the Olympics or be pro. But what they really want are kids who they can coach to be the best that they can possibly be. That's what coaching is all about, in my mind.
Well, Jonathan Koch, we affectionately know him as Jono. It was a pleasure to have you with us today and sharing your journey with Ariana. Thank you so much.
You got it, Kelly. I love what you're doing. And, you know, it's important, especially in today, to take the tack that you have taken and proven with your own kids, which gives you the credibility to sit here with this microphone and talk to those of us that aspire to do what you did. And, you know, so it's an honor to be on the show, and I hope that this grows to be huge and that parents understand what it takes to make their kids great athletes and great humans.
Well, like everything, it takes time, and you inspired it because, you know, quite frankly, I wasn't doing this, and we had our conversation, and we, Jono and I used to work together back in the day coming up with TV show ideas. He went on to do quite a few of them, but we would often ping pong back and forth ideas, and we always came up with something great, but it would be something that I, a little piece of me, a little piece of him, and boom. So this is it. This is the Prospect Blueprint. And again, Jono, thank you so much. Folks, share this. Share this with everybody you know, mothers, fathers, people who support young athletes, because it's important. And like it, comment, leave your word. And of course, more than anything, please subscribe to the Prospect Blueprint. I'm Kelly Kleiman. Until we meet again, thank you.